You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with director Tony Cervone. Tony's latest film is Scoob, which focuses on the origin of the relationship between Mystery Inc. and its iconic characters such as Shaggy and Scooby-Doo. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Tony about what it means to become who you were meant to be, reviving the Hanna-Barbera universe, and finding that balance between nostalgia and cutting-edge technology. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for talking with me. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm glad that you could come on. I'm excited to talk about Scoob with you. It's a lot of fun. It's really adorable, charming film. Now, I know you've got lots of experience in the Scooby-Doo universe, but what was it that made you want to bring him back to the big screen?
Well, I mean, I had prior to the movie, told a number of Scooby-Doo stories, and I felt at that time like, well, we've already done a lot of these. Like, what kind of new thing can you do? And what I really liked about this, the script, the original script and the original story was it took Scooby and Shaggy, you know, these two characters that are kind of the comic relief in their own show and are very reluctant investigators, to say the least. And it pushed them out forward. It made them, you know, really have to do the heavy lifting of the story, you know, both of the mystery and of their friendship. And I was like, it felt fresh. It felt like, wow, finally we're going to pay a lot. We're going to really kind of dig into those two. And really that was the thing that hooked me. I mean, I love the opportunity of bringing these characters to life in a feature animated way. For sure, I was excited by that as well. But I really like the story of their friendship and moving them to the center of the narrative. I thought was really interesting.
I mean, they've been around now for 50 years. What is it about the Mystery Inc. team that continues to be so beloved?
I think it's a number of things, and I think one of it is Scooby and Shaggy are fun and they're great, and they've been a part of people's lives for generations now, so they feel like friends. And so they're fun and funny, and they genuinely like each other, which I think is something that people respond to. And then I think that the gang themselves are kind of archetypes that are still relevant, you know, like there's always going to be, you know, the heart, the brain, and the muscle. Those right. are always things that are, they still exist. So I think that they still feel relevant. And I think there's something about solving mysteries, you know, meddling kids, they're not professional mystery solvers. They don't get paid for this. No one has given them this task. They do it because they're passionate about it. And it's fun to watch them solve mysteries. It's fun to watch them be right. Whereas all the people around them believe a monster is real or whatever. Even the police seem to believe that you know, there's a ghost in that lighthouse. But these kids are like, that's not a ghost. It's an insurance scam or something. So I think there's a lot of fun in that. And it's fun for everyone. It's still fun.
Yeah. Do you think the characters have changed over the years, or how so, if they have?
Yeah, I think they always reflect the time that they're being made in. I mean, that's one thing that we're not bringing Scooby-Doo back. Scooby-Doo, there's a brand new show right now. There's been 19 different series, I think. So there's always a Scooby-Doo being made. It's always been out. It's always been somewhere. And that's one thing that I learned personally was I grew up kind of with the original Scooby-Doo. And so at some point, you know, I kind of, you know, once like a character like Scrappy-Doo was introduced, I was like, oh, I don't like this. The show jumped the shark. But if you were six when Scrappy-Doo was introduced, then Scrappy-Doo is important to you and you can't forget that. You know, you have to forget that these characters are important to a lot of different people's childhoods, and you have to be respectful of it. So you have to be aware of the whole history and at least be aware of it and realize that something you don't like is someone's favorite thing. You got to kind of be cool about it.
Speaking of the history of it, one of my favorite parts, aspects of the whole film is the decision to really bring them into the Hanna-Barbera universe. I was wondering what inspired that decision, and maybe are there plans to revisit old properties if this takes off?
Yeah, I mean, the original plan was always like, this is the Hanna-Barbera Justice League, you know, and this is the Hanna-Barbera cinematic universe. And I thought that was really exciting, too. I was like, how are we going to do it? These are characters that are really different from each other. Like, they have different styles. And I had to give it a lot of thought to go, how do we put Dick Dastardly and Fred Jones in the same movie? They don't look, and call that they're both human males. I mean, they don't look like they're even from the same species. But it was something we all were scratching our head about for a long time. But really what helped us get over it was Hanna-Barbera never worried about this kind of stuff. And they wouldn't have been worried about it now. Like, the people who created those shows, they mix stuff up all the time, and they liked doing it. And, you know, they made Laugh Olympics. You know, if you remember that show, it had, like, every character in it. And no one, I don't think anyone was worried that Blue Falcon and McGill Gorilla were in the same show. So at some point we just went, okay, let's embrace this. Let's lean into it. So we did. And there are a lot of conflicting animation styles happening in the same shot. But it wound up being its own thing, and I think it kind of became original and fun because of it.
I have to admit that 5-year-old me got very excited to hear Tracy yell out the Captain Caveman yell, and, you know, those.
You weren't as excited as Tracy was to yell it.
I bet
Tracy
not.
Tracy loves yelling it. From minute one, like, as soon as we're like, Captain Caveman, who are you thinking? And I'm like, Tracy. And that's it. Like, it had to be Tracy. He was so much fun. And right, we changed the character up a little bit. It's still Captain Caveman. He still does Captain Caveman stuff. He still has the club and the yell. But we're also like, let's let Tracy be Tracy and have fun with it. So, and we did. We really loved it.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And there are tons of little references in there throughout. That's why. And when you talk about the Slag Hoople, I was like, oh, man, yeah. I would love to see the Flintstones. That would be great.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's so many. There are so many. And it's fun to hear, like, which ones did people catch and which ones didn't they? Like, you know, like, I was talking to someone earlier who was like, I freaked out when I saw that pterodactyl. And I'm like, good. And they're like, that is the pterodactyl from Johnny Quest, right? And I'm like, it sure is.
Yeah.
You know, like, we didn't invent too much. You know, we appropriated as much as we could.
Yeah, you know, it felt like you guys got to sit down in the toy box and just play with whatever you felt like in the moment and bring it all together. It was fun to watch.
Absolutely. We absolutely did. And everyone did. Everyone did. Anyone who was like, hey, you know, it'd be cool there if we could try that. This was the one movie where I always hear people talk about this kind of stuff. Like, this happened behind the scenes, but it never makes it into the movie. I'm like, I'm proud that we are the movie where all of these ideas actually made it into the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a really interesting theme amongst Mystery Inc., and especially Scooby and Shaggy, but it seems to, the idea of becoming who you were meant to be. I was wondering if you could talk about what you wanted to communicate with that, or why that was important to include in the story.
That's the heart of the story, is becoming who you were meant to be, and what does that do to your friendship, right? And we all felt that was very relevant. That was very something everyone can understand. It's something that anyone from any age, because it keeps happening, you know, like at any late age in anyone's life, things happen that challenge friendships, and it happens over and over and over again. But friendships change and friendships adapt. And when you becoming who you are meant to be, but still bringing, you know, but doing that with your friend who's also becoming who they are meant to be. I think it's the big, that was really the heart of the movie. Like, something challenges, Scooby and Shaggy are best friends, and something challenges that friendship, and are they going to survive, and what does it mean? And I think them acknowledging that, and that, you know, change happens, and you need to rise to the challenge of it. It was absolutely it's the most important thing in the movie, at least to us, was that the heart of the movie.
Yeah,
I mean, I love the Easter eggs and I love blowing stuff up, but the heart of the movie about friendship and support, and I mean, that's one thing I like, and I don't want to digress too much, but one thing I like about the movie is Dastardly.
Yeah,
right? Because what Dastardly wants, it wouldn't be any different than what Shaggy wants. It's just, if Shaggy lost Scooby, he would do anything to get him back. And so would Dastardly.
Like, yeah.
Dastardly's just evil, so he'll do evil things to get him back, but his goal isn't, you know, his goal is understandable, it isn't evil, but he's just a flawed person.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because, you know, the relationship between Dastardly and Muttley, I never would have compared them initially before this film and the relationship with Shaggy and Scooby, but you do it in an effective way, where Dastardly can still be Dastardly, if that's not redundant, but when you see that he's just trying to rescue his friend, you know, he doesn't have to release the hounds of hell to do it.
Right. Yeah. But, no, they're the shadow version of Scooby and Shaggy, right? That's, they love each other with equal intensity, but they're the shadow. They're the evil, you know, the Star Trek evil universe version of Scooby and Shaggy.
They're the darkest timeline.
That's right. So we could have, goatees and everything.
Going back to the style, there's a wonderful feeling of nostalgia, but it's also very cutting edge in the look. It's a beautiful film. Real FX, I think, did it and did a wonderful job. I was wondering how you found that balance, and was that hard for you to find the balance between nostalgia and modern day?
We definitely try to do both things at once all the time. Like, that is, and don't do one at the expense of the other. But it was a fun challenge, and one that we're weirdly comfortable with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, I felt like it was more fun than scary. Like, but it was, we had a million discussions about these things. Like, are we too much? Like, take for example the trees in Captain Caveman's world. Like, the trees in that world are, they're very realistically rendered, like a prehistoric tree would be. But their silhouettes and their shapes are straight out of the Flintstones. So, and the level of, like, okay, is the detail making you forget about the Flintstones, or is that kooky shape making you forget it's a tree? Yeah, we had a gazillion discussions about this all the time. So that's just one of a million examples of that. But I don't know, that's fun stuff to talk about.
It works across the board, even though you've got all this mishmash, you know, it brings everyone together. And it's on demand this Friday, is that right? On Friday the 15th?
Yep, yeah. Friday the 15th. It's out in the world.
As we wrap up, can I ask you about that? I mean, I know that things have shifted a lot with coronavirus and the plans initially changed. I know it wasn't your decision to throw it on demand, but do you feel like it affects the way that people view the film, or does it really not matter in this day and age?
Aren't we living in some strange times right now? Like, I feel like if this had happened and we weren't in the middle of a pandemic, it would be a very different story. But I kind of feel like, personally, yes. Personally, am I bummed I'm not seeing it in the movie theater? Sure. You know, like, I love movie theaters, and this is a movie. This is a big CinemaScope widescreen feature film. It holds up at an enormous size. You know, it looks great. But there aren't any theaters right now. And on top of it, I do feel like this is a crisis. No matter what, it's a crisis. People are upset. And rightfully so. And this is kind of a nice, comfortable thing to have. Like, it is a, you know, I've said it a lot of times, but I really mean it. It's comfort food, and it's a good family film. It's something that I think the adults who grew up loving this stuff can watch with their kids, and the kids get something out of it, and the parents get something out of it. I mean, that's to me what sets Warner Brothers stuff apart from all other studios. Is that, you know, we've been making irreverent cartoons for all ages since Bugs Bunny, and we still strive to do it. And I think it feels like a Warner Brothers movie. Like, it's funny. There are jokes that are going to sail over kids' heads, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, these references that we're talking about are for us. They're not for six-year-olds. They'll be lost on six-year-olds. But you know what? Those six-year-olds will grow up one day, and they'll Google something, and they'll say, oh my gosh, that thing I like was really based on another thing. And that's all good, too. Like, this pop culture stuff is important, especially when things, in times like this, like, pop culture is comfort food. It makes people happy. So I'm bummed about the theater, losing the theater experience, but I'm also really happy about providing entertainment at a time when people need it.
I appreciate that, Tony. Thank you so much. It's a lovely film. It's really cute. And I wish you the best. I really appreciate you talking with me. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, thank you.